Okay, let's get back to work here. More stories. More vaxxed people are glowing. What, you say? Yes, they are. They're glowing. Put a black light over the vax site. This one, well, I'll place a little video. It's cute, 30 seconds long. Mother with her daughter, little girl's just adorable. She's probably about, I don't know, four years old, maybe. Here's the video. And the little girl is with her mom in the, looks like the kitchen. And the mom says, here, take this and point it at my, where I got my vax. And the little girl points it at her shoulder, where the vax site was. And then she asks her to point it over her hand. And the veins in her hand are glowing. Glowing.
Check this out, guys. I'm Leanne from Red Pill Crew. I've had my vaccine. Today. Where's he? Shine the light on me. Oh, I can't do it at the same time.
She's asking her daughter.
Shine
the light.
There. Yeah. Nearer to that dot. Oh, jeez, look at that. I've had my vaccine, Rosie. What do you think? What's happening? Come on, shine it on my hand. Oh my God.
Her veins are all glowing.
That vaccine.
In her
do you
hand.
Think I should have had the vaccine?
No.
No, indeed. No, indeed. Erica, these things are popping up more and more. This is not good. That woman's veins in her hand were glowing.
Yeah, that's the I think I've seen two or three previous to that one. So, again, just like the magnetic nanoparticles or sites of injection or body-wide, we don't know how long this has been going on, but somebody just decided to look, and, well, there it is. But they could have just changed the formula again. And this luminescing protein, and that's what you're seeing when you know, you shine this black light on a vein, that's evidence that you've been transfected with this material, and it's coding for the production of this luminescing protein. It's described in the Moderna patent, and I know that the Pfizer, I haven't seen their patent, but their literature had described using a luminescing protein known as M-neon green, and I think that this is a way to determine who has been vaxxed or successfully transfected.
Oh, so maybe TSA will be getting little handheld black lights to scan people to see if they're glowing?
Sure.
Wow. Okay.
So this would give you some indication also as to, I mean, for as long as you're able to detect that glowing, that's the length of time that your cells are producing that protein. And if after time it starts to fade, well, I guess it's time for another
booster.
Right.
Yep. Right here on the line before you board the plane, step aside here for a moment, will you? We're going to give you a booster to make sure your glowing potential is maximal before you get on board.
Is also evidence that your mRNA your DNA, or you've been genetically altered with somebody's proprietary mRNA, so therefore you're now a transhuman. This is how they're going to identify the transhumans.
Okay. Here's another one. Erica sent. Thank you. Confirmed. mRNA. Now, this is not supposed to happen. Confirmed. mRNA released in exosomes. That means the human body sheds things all the time. Exosomes. And mRNA is this is in the patent. They're admitting it.
Yeah, that's what I read, you know, when at the beginning of our conversation last hour. That's it. It's in black and white. There's your evidence. These shed. They shed the whole material or bits and pieces of the original material into the environment.
And what does that mean? That means you're getting spike proteins, and now we know at the very least you're getting mRNA. And what does a single-strand mRNA do in the body? And what happens when it leaves the cell?
Mm-hmm. Well, any number of things. It's perceived
well,
as,
all,
well, it didn't...
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, when mRNA is outside of a cell, or RNA is outside of a cell, that provokes a cell danger response. It's not a good situation. It's a sign of bad things are going to happen. So it's a danger signal, and the body responds accordingly.
Correct.
And it messes up cellular signaling and can induce the creation of amyloid or prion proteins elsewhere in the body.
There's the home run. Wait till we hear Richard Fleming, Dr. Fleming, on this very issue in just a few minutes. Hold on. So we have now established, thanks to Moderna's own admission, that we're getting, in addition to the spike protein, which is rather obvious, we're getting mRNA released. Now, if that's true, does that suggest to you, Erica, that mRNA is replicating in the body? Or is it just failing to penetrate the cell genome like they want it to?
I don't know that we know. We know that it is present in all of these bodily fluids, exudates,
right.
So that they can be picked up by other humans or animals. Now, whether or not it's able to be translated or expressed in the recipient, it depends on how much of that is intact. They did say that it may not be entirely intact. In other words, it can't be read or, you know, produce a protein, but it's, uh-huh. you know, it's still there. It's foreign genetic material, synthetic.
Right.
So at the very least, it's going to be an irritant. And whatever else is with it, you know, these radioactive ions and chemotherapeutic agents.
Well, you were the first person to bring up the idea of radioactivity because you profiled the damage as being almost identical to being exposed to radiation. And
in
you're
some
right.
people, I mean, hair
yes.
loss, the headaches, the dizziness, the GI tract bleeding, mm-hmm. nausea. And that recent account that we had of the woman that last week that we talked about, she compared it to the people who had been poisoned at Chernobyl.
It's just amazing.
She was sick for 3 months.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned at least half a dozen different radionuclides that were listed as possibly in that Moderna. What's the old expression? Witch's brew. This is so far beyond that. This is Satan's brew. These things are all death. They're chemotherapy approaches that don't work. Chemotherapy can't work, doesn't work, never did work. It's a lie. And everybody out there with a brain knows it. All right, let's move on now. We're going to go to Dr. David Martin. He's going to expose... Well, there's a trail of patents, understand. I mentioned that earlier. And the dates on the patents tell the story. You've got an alleged pandemic timeline, but 120 different patents prove there was no such thing as a, quote, novel coronavirus when it was declared. 120 patents prove that there was no such thing as a novel coronavirus when it was declared. All right, here's Dr. David Martin.
Give you a quick overview timeline-wise, because we're not going to go through 4,000 patents on this conversation, but I have sent to you and your team a document that is exceptionally important. This was made public in the spring of 2020.
Yes.
This document, which you do have and can be posted in the public record, is quite critical in that we took the reported gene sequence, which was reportedly isolated as a novel coronavirus.
Novel.
Indicated as such by the ICTV, the International Committee on Taxonomy of Viruses of the World Health Organization. We took the actual genetic sequences that were reportedly novel and reviewed those against the patent records that were available as of the spring of 2020. And what we found, as you'll see in this report, are over 120 patented pieces of evidence to suggest that the declaration of a novel coronavirus was actually entirely a fallacy. There was no novel coronavirus. There are countless, very subtle modifications of coronavirus sequences that have been uploaded, but there was no single identified novel coronavirus at all. As a matter of fact, we found records in the patent records of sequences attributed to novelty going to patents that were sought as early as 1999.
I'm going to stop it there just for a minute. He's being interviewed by Dr. Reiner Fulmich and his team of a couple people with him there. Thank goodness this man has done his research, or his staff has. This is a deadly lie, a deceit unequaled in recorded human history. This is worldwide, and a lot of you listening around the world understand this all too well. People seem to think in ethnocentric or national-centric terms. This is everywhere. And you remember the four African heads of state who said, no vaccines here, and they're all dead in the last year. Dead. So this is obvious. It is a genocidal operation. Erica, anything you have to say about what Dr. Martin is mentioning as having been located? It's a fake. It's a fake. Fake.
Yeah, I mean, he's been into this for well over a year, right? I mean, he saw the pattern emerging, I guess, when he was investigating the anthrax incident years ago, and then saw all these patents being filed for coronaviruses, and that kind of tipped him off to what's going on here. And I think he's been sort of tracking it ever since, and so he had a leg up on, I guess, the entire field when this whole thing was announced. He probably saw it for what it was almost immediately, and in the past year, he has compiled an extraordinary amount of evidence that shows the whole thing has been planned. And I think one of the most damning pieces of evidence is this individual, Peter Daszak from Eco Health Alliance, right, that was instrumental in perpetuating this. I mean, he's on record as saying that they will use the media to generate the fear and the demand. I mean, the media was going to be integral to this whole scam. They knew that they can engage the media to instill the fear and the panic and the hysteria, then the rest would follow. The investors will follow.
I'm wondering if some of the video we got early on from Wuhan of people dropping dead in the streets couldn't have been faked. I'm not trying to take anything away from the people who suffered over there. They may have had an entirely different escaped bioweapon that was far worse than this alleged but non-existent novel coronavirus. I don't know. But those videos had tremendous impact on American psyche. It scared the hell out of them. And as I've said before, the black fungus in India, if that were to either be legitimately occurring here or put out under a false flag operation, that would scare people even worse. I guarantee it. That is really bad.
Yeah, people are driven by these images on the electronic media. I think they fail to realize that these talking heads that are setting policy are no more real than Bugs Bunny right now.
Well said. Yeah. No, exactly right. This is what you just heard, Dr. David Martin, and it's up there in the archive on the right side for the spike protein and the vax. You can find it. Look for Dr. Reiner Fulmich F-U-E-L-L-M-I-C-H, interviewing Dr. David Martin. It's right there. I'm going to go back to this now for a couple minutes. More patent shenanigans.
So not only was this not a novel anything, it's actually not only not been novel, it's not been novel for over two decades. But let's take a very short and what I'll do is I'll take you on a very short journey through the patent landscape to make sure people understand what happened. But as you know, up until 1999, the topic of coronavirus vis-a-vis the patenting activity around coronavirus was uniquely applied to veterinary sciences. The first vaccine ever patented for coronavirus was actually sought by Pfizer. The application for the first vaccine for coronavirus, which was specifically this S spike protein. So the exact same thing that allegedly we have rushed into invention. The first application was filed January 28th, 2000, 21 years ago. So the idea that we mysteriously stumbled on the way to intervene on vaccines is not only ludicrous, it is incredulous, because Timothy Miller, Sharon Klepfer, Albert Paul Reed, and Elaine Jones on January 28th, 2000 filed what ultimately was issued as U.S. Patent 6372224, which was the spike protein virus, a vaccine for the canine coronavirus, which is actually one of the multiple forms of coronavirus. But
did you get that, everybody? I think you did. That's 20 years ago, more. Erica, they had this already done for dogs.
Yep.
This really, this is beyond. It's just beyond. Let me play that again. I just want all you to hear that. And it's in the patent, spike protein, right there, coronavirus.
372224, which was the spike protein virus, a vaccine for the canine coronavirus, which is actually one of the multiple forms of coronavirus. But as I said, the early work up until 1999 was largely focused in the area of vaccines for animals. The two animals receiving the most attention were probably Ralph Baric's work on rabbits and the rabbit cardiomyopathy that was associated with significant problems among rabbit breeders, and then canine coronavirus in Pfizer's work to identify how to develop S and spike protein vaccine target candidates, giving rise to the obvious evidence that says that neither the coronavirus concept of a vaccine nor the principle of the coronavirus itself as a pathogen of interest with respect to the spike protein's behavior is anything novel at all. As a matter of fact, it's 22 years old based on patent filings. What's more problematic, and what is actually the most egregious problem, is that Anthony Fauci and NIAID found the malleability of coronavirus to be a potential candidate for HIV vaccines. And so SARS is actually not a natural progression of a zoonotic modification of coronavirus. As a matter of fact, very specifically, in 1999, Anthony Fauci funded research at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, specifically to create, and you cannot help but you know, lament what I'm about to read, because this comes directly from a patent application filed on April 19th, 2002, and you heard the date correctly, 2002, where the NIAID built an infectious replication defective coronavirus that was specifically targeted for human lung epithelium. In other words, we made SARS.
That's a bioweapon. It seems that Fauci and University of North Carolina Chapel Hill have a bit of a history, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So what's he saying here? How do we restate this? They built a weapon, a bioweapon, specifically designed for the human lung period, and it was SARS.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to SARS? It was withdrawn. I think it was pulled back, or it was built with a short fuse on it. All right, hold on just a minute. We'll take a break and come right back with more. Okay, welcome back. We have some very, even more esoteric things to get into in this half hour. Anything you want to add, Erica, before we jump back and listen to a little bit more of Dr. Martin?
Yeah, I don't think people realize how much money is involved in this scam. I mean, this isn't just a Depop shot. There's money to be made, and I'm looking at a biotech website right now that has already listed and is selling 170 plus SARS-CoV-2 variants. So
selling
you can.
Wow.
So this is for, you know, any company that wants to design a test or a vaccine or research or whatever, but they 170 variants starting with alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and on. They're already here, even though they haven't necessarily turned up in the real world. They're already here. So you can buy them and do what you want with them.
And that raises a question of how many ultimately might there be available. Russia says there are over 4,000 potential variants of this alleged coronavirus.
And
novel.
This is...
Yeah,
well, it's a clever money-making scam. I mean, there's just so much potential here. As long as the public remains ignorant and submissive and compliant and unquestioning, this is going to go on and on.
And suicidal. There have been billions made already. Billions around the world. That's my take.
Yep.
All right, let's go back and listen a little bit more, then we're going to jump into something really interesting. I just want to see what else he has to say real quick.
And we patented it on April 19th, 2002, before there was ever any alleged outbreak in Asia, which, as you know, followed that by several months. That patent, issued as U.S. Patent 72793327. That patent clearly lays out in very specific gene sequencing the fact that we knew that the ACE receptor, the ACE2 binding domain, the S1 spike protein, and other elements of what we have come to know as this scourge pathogen was not only engineered but could be synthetically modified in the laboratory using nothing more than gene sequencing technologies, taking computer code and turning it into a pathogen or an intermediate of the pathogen. And that technology was funded exclusively in the early days as a means by which we could actually harness coronavirus as a vector to distribute HIV vaccine.
Okay, extraordinary material, and I think all of you are listening well close enough to understand the ramifications of what you just heard. Erica, go ahead. Then I'm going to bring up Dr. Fleming next.
Yeah, I think you've said it well. I mean, there's some people have questioned whether, you know, this is what David Martin has turned up is credible. He is a thorough researcher. He has left no stone unturned. He's impeccable in his, I think, thoroughness in coming up with this stuff. Now you just have to get a court to hear it.
Well, a real court, not a communist court. We don't have many real courts. And if we have a real court, there's always a Bolshevik appellate court to overturn whatever good a real court might do. Sorry to be negative, dear friends, but that's the truth. All right, let me pull this up here. So kudos to Dr. David Martin. Wow. Okay. I was talking... Who was I talking to? Oh, Judy Mikovits told me about David Martin, and he was the one that to go to. He was the go-to guy. And I, with whatever people might be able to come up with. So he just showed that.
Yeah, he's done a lot of research on the legal side. I don't think he's a practicing physician. The doctor
might
title,
be a PhD.
I'm not sure.
No, yeah. He might be a PhD in economics.
Yeah.
Because his business is... Yeah, go ahead.
I think he's particularly focused in patent law, medical things pertaining to patent law, and he's damn good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else that could have turned up the extent of information or evidence he has.
What you just heard is enough to throw this whole thing in the dumpster where it belongs. And but how do you get back to the millions of dead? How do you get back to hundreds of thousands of American men, women, children, grandparents? How do you get them back? And they died horribly. And if what we think is going to happen, unless we can force them to cough up the antidote, which you know they have, we're toast. We're going to be in real trouble. All right, this is Dr. Richard Fleming, PhD, MD, JD as well. Let's listen to him. This is just a shorty, 3 minutes. It's going to get your attention, though.
This is a question we're getting quite a bit of, as if this is a new concept. You maybe have heard of some of the doctors on television talking about shedding, and look at the new Harvard study. I have news for you. In 1995, we knew about shedding from viruses. This is written on the website.
1995.
This is a 2021 document from the Japanese data on Pfizer. It shows the virus, the vaccinated components, in all the body organs within hours, not just at the site of injection.
In all of the body organs within hours. Hours.
This is the paper that they're talking about, some of the doctors in the media, about the Harvard study showing that within hours we see virus particles going around the body. I found that fascinating, but not as fascinating as the second part that nobody's talking about. That from a vaccine that only carries the spike protein, it's making antibodies to the nuclear capsid, which is another part of the virus that's not supposedly in the vaccines. You can't make antibodies to something not in your body. So my question is, what's in the vaccines that you're not only making antibodies to the spike protein, but to the nuclear capsid? Because their data shows, and that's the key, I think, of this paper, is that there's antibodies to the nuclear capsid. These vaccines must have more in it than just the spike protein, which we're going to see in a moment.
Erica, you're totally right.
Yeah, in fact, the Moderna patent says explicitly that, And this is their patent for the, not the production of secreted proteins, but specifically for the beta coronavirus. It says that they can change the code for the antigen. It can be the spike protein. It can be the nucleocapsid protein. It can be a membrane protein. They can change it at their own discretion.
Remotely, maybe. We don't know, but that's a possibility. All right, here we go back to Dr. Fleming.
And that's not the only paper you should know about, because in 2017, Moderna published a paper using lipid nanoparticles on the influenza vaccine, and it showed that in the animals tested, their lipid nanoparticle vaccine spread into the brain, the bone marrow, the liver, the spleen, and the muscle site where it was injected. 2017, brought to you by Moderna.
Erica?
Yep, I'm familiar with that study. So they knew.
Nanolipids, another toxin.
They knew this stuff goes systemic. It does not stay at the injection site.
It was one of the biggest lies, one of them.
Yep.
It also doesn't explain the fact that if shedding doesn't exist, Health and Human Services and the FDA went to a lot of effort to issue a guidance to the industry in August of 2015 when they issued a document on shedding from viral and bacterial vaccines to the industry and how to test for it. They didn't spend this type of money and time to test for something that they didn't know and exist. This is their document. It's on the website. It also doesn't explain one other important thing. Remember those prion-like diseases we talked about? Your DNA belongs inside of your nucleus or your mitochondria. Your RNA belongs inside of your cells. If your body doesn't see it, it's not a part of your body. Your immune system doesn't see your genetic code because it's not outside of your cells. RNA, outside of your cells, is a prion. The vaccines contain mRNA. Any leakage of that material produces a prion-like disease.
And we already heard that mRNA is being released as an exosome. So it's getting out of the cells, and it is becoming a prion. All right? A prion. Go ahead, Erica.
Yep. Yeah, that's let's make the distinction there. I mean, the mRNA is a nucleic acid sequence, but the signaling causes it to create proteins that are misfolded. And once they become misfolded, there's a chain reaction, and they tend to, every similar protein they come into contact with, they start to aggregate, and you get a domino effect. And as of now, I think there's 32 different prion or amyloid-associated diseases of that nature. So if that ends up in your brain or your heart, your kidneys or liver, bones, it's not going to be pretty. And these things have the potential to do that.
What's going to stop them?
That's just it. I mean, these things, the more I read, especially with this Moderna patent, it is designed to have a prolonged effect in terms of this foreign protein that it produces. And they're using the carbon nanotubes to load them up with this mRNA so that it can be released slowly over time. And at what cost? You know, every transgenic mouse or animal they've ever come up with, yeah, you could get it to express a particular gene so that you can maybe study that gene, but it comes with a price. Transgenic anything doesn't live that long. It just doesn't. And I don't see, you know, how or why it's going to be any different with humans. They are genetically modifying humans for the sole purpose of producing a foreign protein indefinitely, forever and ever, if Pfizer has their way.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to come with a price, probably a pretty big price tag.
And a booster every 6 months, right?
Oh, I think I've heard every 3 months.
UK said, some idiot in the UK said monthly.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yep. So when you're overriding your body's genetic code, bad things happen. I mean, these gene therapies should be reserved for people that have legitimate genetic defects.
Right, right.
You know, a healthy person
no.
to go in there and start manipulating their genes for a virus that has a 99% recovery rate, that's ridiculous.
99.9975% recovery rate.
Right.
Untreated. Not even vitamin D3. Untreated.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We're going to jump ahead here and listen to Dr. Charles Morgan. You want to intro this one for us?
Well, okay. So where are we going with this technology? You know, there seems to be a couple different agendas running in tandem here. You know, one is to make a bunch of money. One, I believe, is to create a population of sick people so that we can sell them more therapies.
Oh, yeah.
Try out more therapies. But ultimately, I
sickness.
Yes,
death.
Yes. Some part of this is designed to install this social credit system by monitoring people's thoughts, behaviors. And Bill Gates or Microsoft has already applied for or been given a patent last year for this specific reason of hooking people up to a cryptocurrency blockchain type of system.
Not only monitoring people's thoughts, but implanting thoughts in people.
Yes.
We talked about that the other day. And so I've got a video up on that somewhere. I can hardly keep track of all this data. You're a scientist. I don't know how you do it. But seriously.
Well, as I said, there's multiple agendas running in tandem that all sort of synergize with one another. I mean, the ultimate goal is people are dying. People are going to continue to die. You know, the population is getting weaker. You know, those that remain, I think there's going to be so few of us that survive this that are going to be able to withstand, you know, China coming over the border or whatever.
Right. Well, the Deagle.com projections show no substantial diminution in the population of China or Russia. So forget the idea of nuclear war. According to Deagle, that's not what's going to happen. What's happening right now is a biological attack on America. Simple. Now, I've got the Russian thing, which I haven't read, and that's the idea of putting something in the body that can be remotely directed to go anywhere they want in the body and to put thoughts in the brain, okay? They can put thoughts in your mind. Not false memory syndrome. We're talking about literally actual thoughts and material. Okay, that's for another night we'll do. Go ahead. Then I got to play this. Go ahead.
Well, I think we have to look at, you know, what's going on here as let's get away from this idea that it has anything to do with a virus at all. This is not about protecting people from anything, really.
No.
I think it's to try out this experimental technology. What the purpose of the spike protein is, I'm going to say it's to carry a magnet of some sort to magnetize the body, put it on a protein so it can go further and integrate itself into human tissues. We've got the graphene, evidence of the graphene in there. There's carbon nanotubes in there. There's magnetic iron oxide nanoparticles.
It's true. It's
you know, this isn't about a virus anymore. So where are we going?
Yeah. All right. This is Dr. Charles Morgan. All right, here, let's get into this. We got just a few minutes left. Psycho, neurobiology, and war.
Put it into the sensory cortex of the second animal, and that animal acquires the knowledge. From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain. You can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventnor's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. It sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called DREADs. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled.
Now listen carefully.
You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product, as long as you know the DNA sequence. You can insert it into a living system.
He's saying that they can make a human cell create gasoline if they wanted to in your body. Any substance that can be made by a modified cell that's put into your body.
Yep.
Now listen carefully here. This is the kicker.
And you can remotely control it. It may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains. Just people have figured out how to hide imagery in the DNA of bacteria. You can have the information reproduced in a string form as a form of a protein. The new way to hide information is going to be in DNA. This is the first experiment showing what imagery you can hide in bacteria. This is the latest. It's a GIF file. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing with DNA. Merging DNA systems with quantum computing will be really quite an amazing and both lethal threat. The next thing I wanted to mention to you is memory. Can we erase memory? Can we modify memory? Can we change memory? The short answer is yes.
There we go. We just have a minute or so left. So there's just a glimpse. That was 3 years ago, Dr. Morgan, in an address to West Point. Erica, go ahead and wrap it up here for us. That was pretty mind-boggling. They can take that cell and move it anywhere they want in the human body and have it do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's 3 years ago. Where do you think they're at now?
Yep.
So I think we need to stop thinking about this vaccine as having anything to do with a virus, and it's all about genetic modification and, you know, inserting this programmable matter into your body.
Remember what I said in the very beginning of this? It's not a vaccine, it's a carrier.
Yep.
I said this a long time ago, year and a half ago, and it's always been a carrier. It always will be a carrier. That's the game. One
yep.
final comment, if you will.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I understand. It's overwhelming, and it's so damned evil. That's the other part of it.
Yeah, it's sad. It's just all around sad that so many still don't see it. It's
no. Honestly,
flabbergasting.
How could they? Thank you, Erica, very much for being here and all your wonderful
okay,
work.
Okay, Jeff.
As always, talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Okay. Have a good evening.
Bye. All right, we'll put this up, and I hope you'll share it. You know, people say, what, 2 hours? No, it's two 46-minute, 47-minute pieces, and it's clearly important. I hope you learned something. I hope your mind has been opened a little bit more. I know some of you are already there, and we really appreciate you being with us. Well, back tomorrow night. Talk soon.